You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Devin B. Johnson. Devin, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Devin, we're going to talk about your work in the show at Nicodem Gallery in New York. And the show is up now, of course, and continue to run. And, you know, for the dates and exact information, listeners can find more information here. But to jump right into your show and some of the work in the show, I wanted to start with the painting, which is featured in there, A Moment in Crossing. You know, it's a beautiful painting, and seems like it's from a specific time. This was painted in 2023, but it has a kind of pandemic feel to it. I don't know if it is, and the palette is just really unusual. It feels almost, you know, like kind of camera digital artifacts or mm-hmm. something apocalyptic. But that's just my read on it, which is probably a stretch. Can you tell me a little bit about that? A Moment in Crossing.
Yeah, actually, there was a point in time, you know, something that's actually very important to my practice, especially living in New York City, is kind of having this voyeuristic type of view on the landscape that I'm in. And sometimes I'm taking photos on either my walks to places, to my house or to my studio, back and forth. But in this particular moment, A Moment in Crossing, I was in an Uber one morning and I took this photo from a moving car. And what I also like to do is in that moment, I take these, you know, quiet moments, these mundane moments, and I'll go into Photoshop, in this digital space, where I'm able to kind of toggle and play around with color palettes, add other artifacts that I might have seen on my walks, like these types of overlays. And these type of overlays, to me, kind of simulate this type of phenomena of associative processing with things that might have been absorbed in that moment. And I like to kind of collide some of these remnants, these artifacts of those, you know, small desperate moments onto this painting that is now called Moment in Crossing. And so in this digital space, I'm able to also kind of saturate these colors and actually kind of challenge my way to even mix down colors in a particular way via this type of a way of seeing these digital colors kind of operate. But my color palette and even just some of my natural sensibilities are always kind of in this earthy, rustic type of sepia tone. And so I guess it kind of bridges in this idea of recollection or nostalgia. And so I use reds, greens, and browns and these earthy tones. My color palette always involves green, red, brown, black, and these other type of synthetic colors. But it's a way for me to also think about with sepia and also a way to even think about interesting ways of mixing down color.
So there's so much happening in color between like the image and the canvas, right? You're mm-hmm. working in the digital space, as you say, and then when you're through working in digital space or come to one point in the process, then that's transferred onto canvas?
Yeah, and so essentially I like to think about it like having a sheet music, having a rendition written out with like all the types of crescendos and all the things, right? You can see it right then and there, but I also love to reserve the fact and the openness of chance and letting things just kind of rock as they are. And so I'm not necessarily looking to communicate exact, the exact thing that I'm seeing in this digital space, but then maybe deriving a little bit more from this, you know, maybe sterile digital space, and then adding that human flaw, perhaps the fallacy of like the hand trying to imitate something, is also, I think, what gives the poeticism of the painting. So I full-heartedly open myself up to those moments, just to reserve a human quality and just to see where things can go.
I like that. Yeah, it's such an interesting process. In another image there, City Slicker, which seems to kind of feed into that. I mean, it's an interesting pairing, but this is a very, very different one, right? This is this is canvas mounted on panel or linen mounted on panel. Also, really, really large one. Yeah, tell me about this one, because this is now completely different, right? The narrative, the story here, if there is one, is not at all like the previous one, A Moment in Crossing.
It's interesting because I feel like what I'm trying to articulate with the world building that I hope that is here is there are different vantage points. There are different focal points of things that are moments in time or I guess you could say like the zhuzh of like a city. There are so many different things that you can look at and have your attention at. And I think for City Slicker, for me, it's a type of way of looking at a city in its maybe grittiest ways, like the cellar doors, the basement gritty, diamond grated doors that are actually on the floor in New York City. They have their own natural abstractions that occur on these things. And so I was thinking about for this specific painting, and this was in an exhibition that was curated by Antoine Sargent, and it was at Henna Traore's gallery in Lower East Side last February. And it was tasked after this Helmut Lang t-shirt called Cowboy. And it was, you know, artists asked to interrogate or even question the idea of an American cowboy. And for me, using oil paint as a traditional medium, I was thinking about oil as a American commodity, how iron, American oil industries, and things that gave rise to a lot of American antiquities happened during the same time of this 18th century. And as using, you know, oil paint as this way, and even thinking about New York City having this gritty nature, I wanted to combine a historical aspect to the traditional aspect of oil painting. And just in my contemporary way of injecting it would be seeing the abstract things or gleaning abstract things from the world, but using these processes to think about American antiquities.
That's so interesting, and something I wouldn't have pulled for that. I mean, is that so? These are close-ups of or details that you're taking off the street. Is that similar to the Water Me Deeply image? It's another canvas from another time. Last year. Yeah, is that a similar process there? Because I mean, the colors and the texture are so rich in that as well.
Yeah, it is. It comes from this want. Like in the figurative works, you see this want for abstraction to push through. And then there are moments in paintings that I reserve where that fully comes through. You know, I would say the figurative works work as a focal point of vision, and maybe a abstract work acts as an internal, more cathartic, more responsive, more raw type of questioning. And so I'm using oil paint medium to even pastiche the types of weathering of time that I see that's happening all over the walls of subway stations or diamond plated grates on the floor, or maybe this way in which some of the skirmishes of graffiti have these tracings. And, you know, it's all participatory in how many people exist in a type of city or type of space. And it takes reference to the Dadaists and the Surrealists of the 1920s, where they went on a series of walks in banal Paris. And these are some types of things that I was trying to respond to with, I'm going to walk down my specific route, but take pictures of things that are interesting. And these are ways for me to even like kind of canvas what's around me. And so the Water Me Deeply, City Slicker, or my series called Walkscapes, satisfies this need to respond to that walking practice that I have, but also this abstract nature that is actually more emotionally, forward-driven. But I think it also helps me think about texture and think about the plasticity of oil paint, because it's all oil paint and spray paint sometimes, but I'm also trying to question how can I extend the medium, the traditional medium of oil paint in this way where it can try to replicate this type of weathering of time that I'm seeing on the side of buildings and stuff.
Yeah, the issue of time is something that comes up frequently in your work, right? I mean, to move backwards even further in terms of perhaps your childhood or the role of music. You talked earlier about the role of music in the very first image that we talked about. Can you tell me a little bit about that relationship to the past? Because some of it is coming from your childhood, right? And relationship to music then?
Yeah, you know, and something that's very fortunate, experience of mine is that my brother and I grew up in a household where our creativity or just what our skill sets or what our interests were nurtured and looked after. And, you know, I grew up in a household where my dad played the piano, and, you know, it's the vivid memories of listening to his, you know, practicing from like upstairs and coming down and sitting next to him while he practiced. Those are very, you know, kindred memories that I have in my adolescent space, in that phase, but also in that same space, it's also where I've met creativity for the very first time. And myself as, I guess, this creative artist or this creative being at the very first time, and it's still preserved to this day. And so I give reference to that kid that dreamed to that point where all the daydreams that he might have had in like middle school or high school had come true plus more. And so I oftentimes reach back and speak to that kid or speak back to certain people or energies who have paved the way to allow me to become this person. So a lot of my work does think about nostalgia in a way where I'm thinking about my family, my grandparents, other people in my life who also have given me this type of power. It's a way for me to also pay homage and give, continue the type of baton or the race, and also kind of goes in alignment with this train of thought from Ghana, the Dinkra people. It's called the Sankofa. And it's the idea to go back and fetch it, to then use the information from the past to better yourself on for the future. And those are aspects that are actually kind of natural, I think, in my life. And I try to carry that on a little bit more honestly, I think, in the practice.
It's so interesting to hear about the relationship of the past, the relationship to your past, excuse me, your past self, but also the relationship to people who have, been supportive along the way, not only your parents, but grandparents and others that have paved the way. Is kind of it's so powerful to me to hear that, because there's so many ways of moving through the world, and very often among artists as well, it often seems that work is presented as though it's just being invented, and that the creativity is coming out right now in the moment, and it's related to maybe other things around you, but it isn't quite as doesn't have quite as, you know, almost sounds like a devotional aspect you have.
Oh yeah, of course.
To recognizing the past, and so like to dig a little more into that, just because that seems very meaningful to me, and something that's honestly a little alien to me in the work that I do. I'm writing. I'm not so much talking or writing about it, the past or an homage. I'm doing what I think is inventing something new, and of course that's not the case. All our lives are built on the struggles of other people, on the sweat and tears of other people, on the oppression of other people. So to just jump into that a little more, it seems that the work that we're talking about and your relationship to the past is something that's the backbone almost of your work. And I'm just wondering how that came to be, how that exploration, that investigation became so primary. It seems that it's more than just your father or your family nurturing your talents, right? It's something else about an ethic or a culture or a morality or something else.
Yeah, I think because that when I've gone into the world that I've realized how rare my upbringing was in that respect, where I was sitting in art class and I was telling people about my family's, you know, openness to my degree devotion, and they were just like, well, this is not the case for me. And I was really shocked, you know, and I was dumbfounded even. I thought that was normally the case. And so my grandfather at the age, when I was like maybe like 7 or 8 years old, my grandfather would take me after school. I was in second grade, and he would take me after school to my first after school art school. And then that's where I'm like, you know, playing around with pastels, or acrylic and oil paintings and things of that nature. And it was fun. I was learning like the grid system. I was learning a lot of interesting things in that time. And, you know, my grandfather or my dad, whatever interest I had, whether it be like music, I wanted to play the piano at one point. I played the trumpet. All the things that I was interested in, they just nurtured and put in my face. But the thing that remains and stuck that was actually very core was just this natural talent that I had to drawing. And my family would always support it. My parents have gone to every single exhibition I've had, even to the 9-year-old drawing that's placed in like the local mall, you know, and they keep everything. And so one of the things too is that my great uncle on my mother's side was an artist, and he didn't get as far as he could have because maybe of the access that was granted to him. And so when he did pass away, I was bestowed his paintbrush satchel. So I have all these like things that are like items, symbols of the past. And then also I am now a symbol of this type of future stemming from them. And I'm now kind of pushing it forward. So it's that Sankofa thing again that comes into mind, where the past is helpful for continuing a brighter future. And I can only go based off my storyline, this narrative here, because I also want to move in my creative efforts as real and raw as I can. And the only way I can do that for me is to investigate and meet parts of myself through painting and asking these questions, can I do this? And I also find myself learning a great deal on the job.
And is there an aspect of yourself, this can I do this, you know, this exploration that you're currently involved in now that was, let's say, different than last year? Is there in exploring that? Because it's really very beautiful what you just said about your parents, because, right, of course, that's rare and that's quite special. So in either in that context or out of that context, is mm-hmm. there something specific you're exploring now that moves further in those areas?
Yeah, I think.
Can I do this? Yeah.
Yeah, that can I do this stuff is like, you know, coming to the awakening of yourself and finding your power through just yourself. And like, I think I'm very fortunate to have had this thing at a very young age that I've met myself at a very young age, and now I'm able to do it professionally. It's a great honor, and it is a responsibility that I have. And I think in that love that I have, and in these questions of not even feeling satisfied based on like something that might have, you know, been a question or a challenge, I'm always trying to push beyond it or forward, or ask myself, how do I keep on growing and develop? And I'm, you know, I deserve to know that I'm very young in my career, and I don't believe that I'm fully formed yet. But I also just like to have fun and try different things, but also still try to keep it me. I would love to make my paintings, I hope, ring that they have this type of quality that's inescapable from me.
I like that. It's been such a pleasure talking to you, Devin, about all of these issues and especially that kind of relationship to the past and nurturing. I want to ask you one more question before we go, which mm-hmm. is a little off topic, but I'm always curious what everybody's reading. What are you reading at the moment?
Yeah, I've been reading recently Carl Jung and Man and His Symbols. And that has actually been a very important text to how I even think about memory and subconscious and the dream space. It's very important for me to think about, you know, psychology also while painting, I guess, these abstract works or whatever paintings that are, I guess, being rendered in the figurative form are also these psychological questions I'm trying to ask as well.
Devin, thanks so much for talking with me today, and congratulations on this show and of course all the work you've done for the listeners. There's more links here to learn more and images. Devin, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.